song thrush. A song thrush is easily overlooked as an everyday bird. Rummaging about in the undergrowth, their brown, speckled and mottled underside fits well with the jumble of leaves and bushes. Woodlands, tree-filled parks and bushy gardens are where the song thrush likes to be. For all their discretion in appearance, a song thrush belting out their melodies is impossible not to notice. As might be guessed from their name, these birds are exceptionally gifted singers. Most birds are effective at basic communications, able to tell their kin, for example, to come hither or skedaddle, to pester their partner for dinner, or to warn one another if a hawk is descending from overhead. Calls are efficient and direct. But true singing is a different matter altogether. No duck or gull, no cormorant or crow could ever manage to muster up the lilting phrases, notes and airs of a songbird. For each performance, the song thrush likes to find a well-positioned perch from which they holler out loud, clear melodies that make their presence known and demonstrate their vocal dexterity. Recurring phrases switch up and alternate, singing with the earnest air of an aficionado. A mature male song thrush has a repertoire of over 100 phrases, each element repeated with variations that make the song their own. The notes and phrases of a song are not comparable to human words, nor have they evolved to convey specific messages. Instead, it is the quality of the song that matters. Those with impressive melodies, who can mingle phrases and add complexity, are evidently experienced songsters. Skill accrues with practice, and with maturity comes expertise. And such singing requires stamina too, so a notable singer must also be in good health. All this amounts to a high-standing individual, respected by peers and potential rivals, desired by those of the opposite sex. Singing is how the males endeavour to attract a worthy mate. Each spring, new pairs get together to raise a brood or three. When summer is done and the young are all fledged, the song thrush couple will go their separate ways. Seasonal monogamy is how we describe these relationships. And come autumn, free from parental duties, song thrushes are often tempted to travel. Unlike their cousins, the missel thrush, blackbird and robin, song thrush are not especially keen on hedgerow fruits. Sure, they'll pick a berry here and there, but their preference is always for beetles, grubs, worms, slugs and snails. Creatures they can pluck from the ground. Snails, as we know, have a hard outer shell, not something that any self-respecting song thrush would want to try and eat. So instead, these clever birds have come up with a unique technique for eating snails. They pick up the snail in their beak and bash it on a rock until the soft inner body can be separated from the sharp shards of shell. Youngsters are taught this procedure too, first by being fed morsels of squidged up snail, then learning gradually how to smash up a snail on their own. And being creatures of habit, preferring routine to happenstance, a song thrush who finds a good rock for shelling snails will simply keep returning. Favoured stones are known to us as thrush anvils, unmistakable once observed, scattered always with the fragments of failed snail shells. Being rich in worms, snails, bugs and slugs, Ireland is a good place to live for a song thrush, with the added benefit that the ground rarely freezes over in winter. This means that an Irish song thrush has little need to travel. But for their kin from northern climes, finding sufficient food when cold weather hits is not always easy. For a Scandinavian song thrush, winter offers a choice between death by starvation or southward migration. So each autumn, song thrushes, along with other songbirds, must flee the snow and ice of their homeland and travel south. Like most songbirds, they migrate at night. They call out occasionally to each other, I imagine for some sense of reassurance in the daunting of the darkness, the long flight into the unknown. With a full moon and a light wind, many head for Ireland. October carries them across the Netherlands, over England and Wales, and then over the Irish Sea, to arrive on Irish shores in darkness. By the middle of October, there can be thousands of song thrushes arriving here each day. Initially, they set down in counties Dublin, Wicklow, Wexford and Waterford. Many keep going till they get to the west. It's not unusual in autumn to see 40 song thrushes or more sheltering in a clump of bushes in Clare or Connemara, all with Scandi passports. Aren't we lucky to live among such luscious landscapes where we can look to the birds and find inspiration for welcoming needy visitors from afar?